This is the Patriots Training Camp Cast. Oh, yeah! The Patriots Training Camp Cast is your source for all the news from Patriots Training Camp.
Well, I do still watch the news.
Practice is over, but the writers of Patriots.com have you covered.
What did I miss yesterday?
Now, here to review today's practice, the writers of Patriots.com.
And that would be the entire crew of the writing team of Patriots.com. Evan Lazar, Mike Dussault, Paul Perillo with you after the in-stadium night practice on day 9 here at Gillette Stadium. And I would say the biggest news of the night was off the field as practice was getting underway, a report from Adam Schefter. I believe he was the first to have it about a contract adjustment for Matthew Judon. So, which definitely makes a lot of sense based on what we saw during camp every single day with Judon doing very little out there. He gets a couple extra million in the coffers, which I think he is certainly deserving of. After practice, we got to hear from Jack Jones for the first time of the summer, so we'll get to that later. In between, I'm going to let you guys tell everybody what happened.
Well, it was a white versus blue quasi-scrimmage. I mean, I'm not sure exactly what you would put
scrimmage.
It into. Yeah, scrimmage in quotes.
Air quotes.
I use quotes in my blogs a number of times. Yeah. The half, scrimmage,
it
drive.
Seems like kind of just a dry run of a game without the competition portion of it.
Yeah.
And just getting used to the flow of the game. And, you know, I think they threw a couple situations at them. All right, that kick was missed. Now we're here. You know, those kind of things. So not a lot to probably take from the in-stadium practice, but a nice cap to the week, I think. Six straight days of practices. They're going to be off tomorrow and get a little break, and then you kind of turn the page to the preseason on Sunday and start getting ready for the Panthers. So on the field, I don't know, not too much to take away. Maybe the kickers, Evan, what do you got?
Yeah, specialist, I think, is always a big one, and I know it sounds crazy, but trust me when I tell you, when you're in the stadium and there's even just a little bit of stakes of being in front of a crowd, I'm sure Bill Belichick is keeping tally of Chad Ryland versus Nick Folk and the punters and all that. Bryce Behringer had some boomers tonight.
A
65-yard punt over 5 seconds of hang time. Had another one earlier that was over 5 seconds in hang time. So there's absolutely no question that that guy can punt the football. The question really is consistency, because we've seen some punts where shanks it a little bit, and then other punts where he can flip the field like he did tonight. Chad Ryland did miss from about 45 yards, but he made his other kicks, and Nick Folk was perfect. Both of them had a weird false start snap issue happen to them, so I'm kind of throwing those kicks out. But I still consistently see a much bigger leg. It just looks fresher coming off Chad Ryland's foot.
I don't think there's much doubt. But I did think that it was something to keep an eye on. First time in the stadium. I think Evan's right. I think Bill likes that sort of environment to add a little juice. I thought it was interesting that most of the kicks came toward the the old closed end. I was going to say the closed end, but now they both closed. Away from the new larger video board. There was a couple that Ryland missed. One was definitely thrown off kilter by the movement up front in the line and whatnot. But I bring it up only because it gave me some PTSD to Justin Rohrwasser.
It did feel a little
low line
like that.
Drive that was kind of spinning sideways, fell short into to the left. Was not good. But I don't think that was necessarily on him. I agree with Evan that the leg is definitely stronger than Nick Folk, and Folk was as normal. He made everything.
Yeah, and just a quick comment on Judon too, because I guess this is kind of the new normal with the hold-ins, and this is what it kind of looks like. I think this is what you got to keep in mind when guys are going through this. Certainly not everybody, but there was a lot of speculation what was going on, and that is what's going on. A hold-in, not getting fined.
I think they're not going to come right out and admit that, but Stephon Gilmore never did either, and I would go to my grave thinking that he did that a couple of years ago as well.
And it's an easy to kind of hide it because he's such an important player and they don't really have much depth behind him. So it's easy to kind of make that leap in your mind and like, well, maybe they're just protecting him. But it's good news, and I hope to see Judon out there and involved and getting in shape and getting ready for the season. But I also am okay if they continue to manage him a little bit.
Yeah.
So, go ahead.
No, I just think my line for Judon was the first joint practice in Green Bay. I didn't really care if he practiced it in the practices here, but he's got to have some sort of competition to get the cobwebs off at some point. And I think that those back-to-back weeks, they wanted to get something done. They maybe even got it done a little bit early to have him practice next week. I think he'll be out there practicing. But a guy that only Nick Bosa and Myles Garrett have more sacks than Matthew Judon since he signed with the Patriots 2 years ago. And I think you look at that locker room, if they're not going to take care of Judon, then who are they going to take care of?
I couldn't agree
and
more.
I think there's somebody that they got to make sure, just for locker room morale, that when you're back-to-back Pro Bowls, amongst the leaders in sacks, 15 and a half sacks last year, you got to reward some people for that type of effort.
Yeah, you know, let him wet his beak a little bit, as they say, Mike. So with the Jack Jones situation, he took a very limited amount of questions at the end of the practice. I thought he did a good job of just sort of handling himself. You know, he just talked about, you know, wants to be on the football field, and when he's out there, it's all about what he's supposed to do, and he wants to make sure he's doing whatever he needs to do for the team. He was asked about his version of the events that night. He said that that was a question for his lawyer, which I think is the absolute right answer from the player perspective there. And then, you know, someone I think asked him if he was surprised to still be part of the team. If he expects to be part of the team in 2023. And he said that, well, that's going to be up to coach. That's coach's call. And, you know, he's, again, just doing whatever he's supposed to do to make sure he's ready to be part of this team. And he was asked, I know that it was sort of like a short amount of questions, but he was also asked about the incident that took place at practice on Thursday, and he really didn't get into it. That's just football, man, you know, and – that was big. I thought he did a nice job. I mean, under the circumstances, not an easy situation, right? For a young guy in the crosshairs, he's got to balance the legal elements of this as well as everything else. I thought he did a good enough job. And, you know, I think you face the music and maybe you won't have to do it again for a while.
Yeah, so I mean, still just big questions with him. Is he going to be available? He's a good player. I mean, I think he can definitely play. He could definitely help this team. And so it's just disappointing. You know, we knew what he was dealing with legally, then to have that event yesterday happen. It's kind of adding to the uncertainty of Jack Jones. And, you know, he said he didn't know. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen with him right now. And obviously he's got legal things coming up in August as well that could have something to do with it. So I guess we just kind of wait and see. And, you know, Isaiah Bolden, kind of playing a little well, came up with an interception at the end. I know it doesn't mean anything, but I think he's just been one guy who maybe has benefited a little bit from Jack Jones's reduced reps.
Yeah. Getting some reps, absolutely.
Yeah, I think, you know, just to spin it to football with Jack Jones, you look at what happens when he's not out there to that outside cornerback depth, and I think you are talking about Isaiah Bolden or maybe even moving Jalen Mills back the corner because they don't have much size. Yeah. If he's not in there, and I know he's not the biggest guy, but he's at least 5'11", 6 foot. So he's a little bit bigger than a Jonathan Jones or a Marcus Jones. And those two guys being on the field a lot with 5'8", 5'9", corners all over the place. And Miles Bryant's a smaller guy too. So I look at Isaiah Bolden and see a much bigger guy, a guy that can really run 4.3 speed. He can return kickoffs, play on special teams, you know, a couple different things there that he can do to make himself valuable as a fifth corner. I thought the best play that he's had in camp was punching the ball out from Devontae Parker. I think that was yesterday or the day before, Thursday or Wednesday. And, you know, just one of those late punch outs where Parker looked like he caught it and then he went to go bring it down and Bolden punched it out and forced the incompletion. So he's made some plays. He's played a little bit with the high-end twos. I wouldn't call it ones, but high-end twos. And we'll see what happens with Isaiah Bolden.
Yeah, and those two guys, him and Speed, Amir Speed, great, you know, projections as special teamers with their measurables and obvious athleticism. So that's going to do it for tonight. Mike, you put the preview on it. Sunday, they'll be back at it with practice at 1 o'clock. It's supposed to be now Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and that'll put an end to the public portion of training camp. So it's amazing how quickly these days go, but that's day 9 in the books.